Sean O?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, hello, Thursday, which means it's time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. So have a look at your odds for the games this weekend. I am Mark Duffield, the senior sports writer at the West Australian. Glenn Quartermain is with me, the sports editor at the Sunday Times newspaper. Glenn.
Duff,
Penny
how are
Dangerfield
you?
Doesn't want to play as often.
17 games, 17 round season, with the backing of most, or 80-odd percent of AFL players. So 17 rounds and then finals. So can't say I agree.
Are they happy to take
20%?
A 20% pay cut?
Well, they'll have to. They want to play less, earn more. Oh, it doesn't work that way. I think I'm pretty sure the broadcasters might have something to say about it. And, yeah, look, I'm certainly not in favour of a reduction in the season. I don't think members want fewer games. Look, I'm still pretty hot on the 17-5. I like that. That's just my opinion, but I like that division. I think it's a better way of evening up the competition. But I certainly can't say. I wouldn't think that would be a long, long, long shot to reduce this.
Do you reckon? This is just an impression, and I haven't looked at the data. But do you reckon that injuries are having a greater impact on games at the end of this season than they have in recent seasons?
No. I just think because we're living the now that it seems so. I think there have been seasons where there have been fewer injuries and there's probably been seasons where there's been more. I don't think it's changed too much. I think the game is faster, but I think there are rule tweaks and changes being brought in to reduce that, to combat that. So I think with a few rule changes, it might aid players. They would argue it's probably going to fatigue them more and put more stress on their body. I would argue maybe the game will adapt to that so there'll be less fatigue. But we'll see what happens.
Okay. Of course, news this morning is that Fremantle's David Mundy will probably become the second WA-based player to play 300 games in the AFL next year. He's going on, which I think we all expected that.
Mm.
We're still waiting to hear what happens with Aaron Sandilands. There was some speculation earlier in the week that West Coast might look in that direction if Scott Lysett leaves. I think the situation on Scott Lysett will become clearer either tomorrow or over the weekend. But sources close to Sandilands saying high likelihood that he stays at Fremantle if he decides to play on.
By the way, I didn't mind that idea. I didn't mind it. I think he'll stay at Freo, I agree with you. But I thought it depends what happens with Lysett. But I think Sandilands at the Eagles playing in a reduced number of games, obviously, I think he would be good for a year there.
So you'd look to play him in 12 and four of them to be in September.
Absolutely, you would. One thing that intrigues me with Lysett, there's not a lot of noise coming out of Geelong in his direction. There certainly was earlier, but just recently I'm perplexed by that. I can't understand why Geelong would not have a crack at Lysett.
Did they sort of get a bit comfortable with Reece Stanley's form, and then Reece Stanley's gotten injured last weekend, and maybe they would start
I would have thought Lysett would be perfect for their list. Perfect. Yep. So if I were them, I would just be having a red-hot crack at Scott Lysett. And I think the Eagles will be having a red-hot crack at Scott Lysett as well. It just depends, whether he's prepared to accept that offer. Obviously, Port Adelaide's having a red-hot crack. We see Paddy Ryder every year. He seems to get fewer and fewer games. And, at the moment he's carrying that hip flexor. He looks really sore. Could certainly do with some help. And it's been an area that Port Adelaide's needed to address. And he's an Adelaide boy.
So St Kilda's offering, they're purported to be offering a lot of players a lot of money. The problem for St Kilda is there is now, I think, growing uncertainty over the coaching tenure of Alan Richardson. It's very hard to shift players to a club, particularly if they're doing something as radical as shifting states, if they're not sure who they're going to be playing under. So I think the Saints have got a lot of work to do. If I was the Saints, I'd be more tempted to stay with the draft for another year, let the talent they've got mature a bit. I think there's a bit to work with there. They've had a very disappointing season, I've got no doubt.
They have.
But let's not forget that this time last year, they, alongside Melbourne, were the team considered most likely to push into the eight. So,
yeah, I think with going to St Kilda, I agree with you. It's not really a destination club, but there's this S when you put a vertical line through it. It does funny things to people. You know, I think really interesting. Monday's had a good year, so I think another year makes a lot of sense. You know, yeah. And it's the old argument. You know, who are there? We all accept that Pavs is the best player to play for Freo, but number two, who's the number two? There's a few there that you consider, and Mundy would certainly be one of those.
Yeah, there is a Brownlow medalist there too. He's a pretty good player.
Pretty handy, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't think about it. Let's call it top three, mate. And Ballantyne, of course, in the mix as well. So
Ballantyne, you know, and Bennell, yeah. Interesting this. There was a feeling as of yesterday that the contract conclusions on Ballantyne and Bennell were both closer than the conclusion on Sandilands. Mm-hmm. So whether that's whether there's some ambivalence at Fremantle as to whether Sandilands goes on. Of course, the thing here, Quarters, I reckon, is what do they have to bring in your place? If we look at Ballantyne's situation, Sonny Walters has been playing in the midfield quite a bit. If they want to continue doing that, then you're looking at someone like Sam Switkowski.
Well, who debuted last weekend.
And did all right.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's probably not that two, three or four gun small forwards at Fremantle that they feel would play automatically if Ballantyne wasn't there. They probably feel that Sean Darcy just plays automatically if Sandilands isn't there.
Bennell's a really interesting one. I mean, you've put so much time into him.
Yeah.
I'm more of the argument that, yeah, I would like to see what happens next year. Obviously, it's only a one-year extension. It would only have to be a one-year extension, but he can play, but it's been so long since we've seen it, and it's just these ongoing calf issues. So, but you can't put that much work into a guy and then walk away.
No, I think they're in. That's exactly right. With Bennell, they're in for a penny, in for a pound.
Yep.
They've invested in him. They feel they can't quit on that now, because if he did stand up next year, how would they feel if they let Harley Bennell go, dropped him off their list, and he went and played 20-odd games for Peel, won the Sandover medal, and looked like the Harley Bennell of old? Of course, it just makes sense. Pay him a low wage, up his match payments, so he'd be on a low base, high match payments. If he plays a lot of games, he can earn a significant amount
of money. The reward comes
at
the end. I think that's the way to go for sure.
And just go the one more year and see if they can get it right,
I
think. Okay, now you've got some news on selection. Of course, there's a big game, Richmond versus Essendon. What's happening with the Tigers?
I would suggest Richmond, MCG Friday night. Essendon with its absentees as well. So normally you would say Richmond walks this game in their current form. But there's a Richmond who are locked for top two now. Interesting, the outs this week. So we've heard this morning Cochin's out. Asprey's going to miss. Kane Lambert was already not going to play, and Prestia is very doubtful as well. So there's four pretty big ones.
Yeah.
Which you would say sort of swings at Essendon's favour, but then you look at Essendon and you have Goddard with his knees out. Hooker's, I think, highly unlikely, if not already been ruled out. Saad, who copped that whiplash, or not whiplash, but that pretty bad knock last week from
Nathan Brown. Happy with the three?
No, I'm not. No, I think he should have got more.
Four?
I think he's pretty lucky. I'd be happy with four. Yeah, I think so. Had the potential to cause great. I mean, it's outcome based as well, so I think he's pretty well escaped any severe damage. But
you don't see many hits later than that.
Pretty late, mate. It was pretty late. No Fantasia for me. I just really rate this guy. I think he's a ripper Fantasia, and for me. Jackie Riewoldt too, by the way. It's a really interesting finish to the Coleman medal. I think he and Benny Brown are level. He's on 10 last week for Jack. He's on 5.95 goals, so, and in career best form, in my opinion. Nan Curvis, I believe, is going to return. So won seven in a row against Essendon. I reckon they'll win eight in a row despite their outs.
I think I would be tempted to go the other way if Fantasia was playing. I think he's...
Yep.
Hooker's out for Essendon too, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
So I think they're quite significant outs for the Bombers, I think. So I'm going to go with Richmond. The thing about Richmond that encourages you to stay with them, for all those who are out there tipping and not taking any notice of my tips, which makes you a smart person.
Yeah.
They're a very system-based club, aren't they? So provided the system survives the outs, they will still play strong footy. It's a case of if they ever get to a point where the system doesn't survive the outs, And obviously, they get to rest these players this week. Then they will bring them back next week. And then they'll have the week off before the finals, and then they'll play their qualifying final. So they're looking to have fresh players
they're
come to the preliminary final.
They're going
to
be cherry-ripe duff for the finals, and and away they go. I'm just interested, really interesting. The interest for me in this game, I don't really care who wins. I don't think it matters. I just think that, it probably does for Essendon, who are still the remotest of chances. But I just looking forward to seeing how Richmond goes with that system, with those players out. Be really interesting.
So two Richmond tips there.
Yeah, Saturday, MCG, Collingwood, Port Adelaide. We're starting to get into some games that really meaningful games that mean a lot. Port Adelaide clinging to the hopes of playing in the finals. Collingwood still with top four hopes. 1-5 of their past seven at the G. Collingwood going along nicely. Port Adelaide, you know, arguably the best defensive side in the comp. They just can't kick goals, certainly not the last month or so. They can't keep winning scores. And Charlie Dixon's exit for the season is a big, big hole for them. And, you know, really, last week, that loss after the siren, they led from siren to siren against the Eagles and just got pipped. I felt a bit for them, because with those three players out, you worry about Paddy Ryder. He'll take on Grundy this week. You worry about his hip flexor. I'm not prepared to pick Port. I'll probably rue those words. Port, who go all right at the G, by the way. I just worry about their ability to kick winning scores at the moment.
Yeah, me too. Charlie Dixon, I think, is a massive out for Port. Very important player to them. Still shaking my head at what happened at Adelaide Oval last week. Fantastic win, great escape by West Coast, but. Port Adelaide, I think, as we mentioned on Tuesday, after holding up so stoically for so long in that last quarter, they just absolutely wet the bed in the last 2 minutes and made a mess of it. So,
and I think Houston, I'm not sure what his fitness is like. I've got that really bad neck injury last week, but coming up against a side, in my opinion, as a defender, you would be shaking in your boots playing this side. There's so many options there for Collingwood, and Stevenson's just. I'm starting to come round. I've got two or three in my sights for the Rising Star, but he's going to take a lot of beating.
So, Stevenson, I know you're a Doty fan.
I am a Doty fan.
Who's your third?
And Witherden.
I think
Witherden's a huge chance as well, and would be a thoroughly deserved winner. Really hard to – just the way Stevenson's playing. Mm. And I know there were health concerns for him pre-draft, which is why he didn't go higher. But they've got an absolute ripper of a player there for the next decade.
I agree completely. I saw
playing like a bloke who's played 50 plus.
Yeah, he's a good athlete,
but he's got a good footy brain. He runs to the right spots. He works hard, and they've got a lot up there to offer in the forward line, Collingwood.
He's also got one of the more amusing routines when shooting on goal. It's like he's wondering how to hold the ball, and then suddenly he puts it in the right spot and kicks the goal.
What were you, Duff? Were you did you turn the ball? What did you do? Or just hold it straight?
Held it still over my foot. I wasn't clever enough to do
it. I did about eight rotations with it.
Did
and
you
then
really
kicked it through. You know. Must be something in that, you know. And they were very heavy footies too. Growing up in Melbourne in the middle of winter, they'd be just like, you know, medicine balls. So
yeah, not to be kicked with bare feet.
Every now and then I used to kiss the footy too, just for a bit of luck. You know. never worked. Anyway, I'm going the Pies.
For me.
Okay, Geelong v Fremantle at Cardinia Park. Let's call it Cardinia Park, not GMHBA Stadium. Geelong, seven newcomers this year, have used 40 players against Freo, who've played eight newcomers this year. So both teams have been blooding them. Geelong, been well documented. They've done everything right except kick the ball through the bloody goals often enough. Pretty well, a bit similar to Port Adelaide. But there, that midfield, I think, against a Freo side, I'm not sure if Fife's playing or not. Fife, you could mount a case for Freo. This is a really nothing to lose game. I think they've got their eight on the board, and I think we both agree that that's a good result for Freo this season.
I think I think eight's par.
Yeah, yeah.
But also the number of players they found. I mean, this is the key for me. I think the fact that we think Chera and Brayshaw are players. We think Brennan Cox is developing nicely. Alex Pierce has returned well. And then there's a few others that I think will be handy types around. You know, Sean Darcy continues to show that he's a chance to be a reasonable player.
And the wins they've had have been comfortable wins. They've been good wins, you know, 3 or 4 goal wins. They haven't been wins they've just fallen over the line.
Which was the case last year, wasn't it? They could have easily only won 4 or 5 games last year with the closeness of their victories.
This is a game they almost stole last year, remember, too.
Yeah, but they won't this year.
With Sun Sun.
I mean, this is an elimination final for Geelong.
It is.
Geelong.
They have to, obviously have to win. And then they've got Gold Coast in final round. So I expect them to win the final round and play finals. What we get in the finals is, it's a box of chocolates.
So what Geelong shows, I guess, is that it's all very well to have a top end, but if you have that number of young players, and you've mentioned the number of young players they've had, almost as many debutants as Freo, probably haven't played quite as many of them as often as Freo. I suspect they've been more like a rotating, revolving door, sort of wheeling them in and out. But when you have that many, and they're always stumping up in important positions in important games, you do lose a few. Because it's hard to believe that a team that has Dangerfield, Ablett, Joel Selwood, Mitch Duncan, plus Tommy Hawkins, it's hard to believe that team is on the verge of missing finals.
You know, I go back to my old argument. I'd still like to see Danger spend more and more time forward. As a key forward. I saw him down back last week, actually, against Hawthorn, and I'm thinking, what is there anything this bloke can't do? He was sensational last week, Dangerfield. I'd like him to see him spend more time forward. I really would. I think they're a lot more dangerous when he's down there. And obviously you're robbing out the midfield, but there's plenty of depth in that midfield.
I reckon the same argument could apply to Dustin Martin, which Richmond do, and I think Fremantle, when they get stronger midfield, I think you'd love to see them do the same.
I don't reckon Richmond are in need of a forward as much as Geelong needs a bit more help down there. Yeah. You know, Hawkins has been in good form, but anyway, we'll see what happens. We're both Geelong there. GWS v Sydney, really interesting game this. Won 9 of their last 10 GWS, so in some good form despite that avalanche of injuries that they've had. Sydney, just when we write them off, they're like Glenn Close in the bath in Fatal Attraction, mate. Remember that first movie? Just will not lie down, Sydney. They will not lie down. So I had to use that
it's
one.
It's not the bath scene I remember from Fatal Attraction. It's the rabbit in the pot that I remember from.
But they won't lie down, mate, and it's a credit to them. It's still a pretty tough run, very tough run home for them. Just trying to remember who they've got in the final round, but it's Hawthorn, of course, in Sydney. So, they've got GWS at Spotless Stadium, then Hawthorn in Sydney. The good news for them is that both games are in Sydney, so they don't have to travel too far. But I think big doubts on Josh Kelly, I'm told.
Yeah, so the problem with coming back too soon from concussion is you run the risk of ongoing and lingering effects. Yeah. Now, obviously, GWS would love to win this game, shore up a top four berth, and mount a serious assault on the flag. But what they don't want is been going into the finals with a fitness cloud hanging over.
Yeah, I reckon with the way Jeremy Cameron and Himmelberg are going up forward, Shaw's a big out. Shaw's a big out for them. But they can cover him. They've got enough depth to cover most players, as they have. I think they can cover Kelly this week. That midfield's going beautifully. Ward, Coniglio, he's in, we say career best form, but he rarely plays a bad game. So, and I think that Lobb and Tomlinson are okay. They can carry the load in the ruck. I think now with Himmelberg and Cameron down front, probably Lobb's not as required as a forward. So as good as Sydney, as brave as they've been, I'm going to stick with GWS this week. I think Sydney's always a chance. You write them off at your peril. I'm a big fan of Sydney and always have been, but I think GWS for me this one.
Yeah, me too. And I'm like you. I think this is a genuine 50-50 game, but GWS have not done much wrong in the last 3 months. I think they've lost one. That was to West Coast, and had they kicked straighter that day, they probably would have won that one, and that was in Perth.
So who does Hewitt go to? Well, then just say there's no Kelly. Does he go to Whitfield?
I would want Whitfield locked down on. I think he's an incredibly damaging player.
Okay. Gold Coast v Brisbane, Metricon Stadium. Start of the year, you'd probably say this will be an absolute rip-snorter of a game, but I think Brisbane will win this comfortably. Win this and they're a chance to climb a couple of places. Some may say they don't want to climb a couple of places, but I think they do with where they're at, and I think they'll win this. Gold Coast cannot take a trick. Pierce Hanley, terrific for 3 quarters last week, then's injured. So for them, it's just been a horrible year. Minus 265 in last quarters. I guess the rare positive for them would be Jared Lyons' form in the guts, but and wits. But I think this will be a reasonably comfortable victory to Brisbane, I think, with Dane Beams, and good to see Harris Andrews back in the sort of form he was in prior to that collision.
So form lines tell you this is going to be Brisbane, don't they? An interesting one from a local perspective. I believe Gold Coast is one of the clubs having a really good look at South Fremantle's Malian Pickett, who to me, every time I watch Malian Pickett play, he just absolutely smacks of being an AFL athlete.
So age? What do we say?
He's 26.
26.
He's probably been in the sights of a few clubs before. There were some off-field issues in his younger days, but I think we're going back 4, 5, 6 years back to them. Just a really, really athletic sort of mid-180s, but plays more like 190. Can play halfback, can play through the middle. And he's doing a similar season this year to the one that Tim Kelly had last year.
Well, let's hope he slots in. Let's hope that happens. He slots in next year and plays a similar role to Tim Kelly. He's been one of the finds of the year. We're both on Brisbane.
Brisbane, we are.
St Kilda v Hawthorn Etihad Stadium. St Kilda, obviously there's a lot of off-field turmoil at that club. Not only directed at Alan Richardson, but the board now, it seems. So, and you can't blame them. You can't blame the members. It's just been a horrible year. They should be, if not in the eight, pushing for a spot in the eight. Yep. I had them about 9th, 10th, I think, pre-season, if not at the bottom end of the eight. So it has been a disappointing year. Foot skills have been appalling. That's sort of translated into attack where they've been inaccurate as well. But, you know, really recently Membry and Gresham playing lone hands, and probably Steele and Jack Stephen, you know, in the midfield as well. And interestingly, Jack Stephen's even been copping a whack last week for doing too much, apparently. So I think it's just endemic of what's been happening there at the moment. Against Hawthorn, fourth at the moment. Would love to win this and just obviously shore up a top four spot, but they've still got to beat Sydney in the final round. But in good form, Hawthorn, and you know, Mitchell, Warpolo, Mira, Burgon back makes a big difference. They're more settled in defence, Hawthorn. I think Stratton, maybe not the best defender, but the most important defender to Hawthorn. And Frawley in the best form the last month that he's been in for a couple of years, in my opinion, too. So
Stratton, career best form.
Yeah.
You reckon? I've never seen Ben Stratton. Ben Stratton's been a very good player for Hawthorn.
I have. I've seen him in this
form. For a long period of time, but I've never seen him play better.
Slips under the radar a bit. And I think in those premiership years, when you had the likes of Brian Lake, they sort of... But Stratton's always been there and he's always done the job. It's just that, but I think he's really been noticeable the past month and has brought other defenders up with him.
Yep.
And I think it would take a major upset here. I think Hawthorn wins this one.
This would take one of the shocks of the season. Hawthorn wins, stays in the top four, and St Kilda, I think if this is a big one, a big spread, like it has been in recent weeks for St Kilda, I think watch this space next week.
Caretaker coach for the last game?
I don't know about that, but I think things could get very interesting for the Saints.
I reckon they're already pretty interesting. And you look at ex-players who perform media roles around the place, no one's happy with the way they're going.
Yeah.
And you can't blame them. On to Sunday, Carlton v Western Bulldogs at Etihad Stadium. I think Western Bulldogs, credit to them, can't play finals. They've known that for a while, but they're going along really nicely. I think they seem to be all on the same page. It's a real credit to Luke Beveridge. He's got them, I guess, gearing up. You talk about, you know, you think they've already done a rebuild. You're probably right. And
I think they've just done a sneaky little list. What did Ross call it? The re-stump, rewire, replumb.
Sneaky little one.
Yeah.
McRae, Hunter, Daniel, all with 40-plus possessions last week. And Bontempelli, you know, I was amazed yesterday. They look at this AFLPA 22 under 22. So
he's still in there.
He's 22, Bontempelli.
Yeah.
That is remarkable. I fell off my chair when I saw that. What a career he's had so far.
It's not one of the more prestigious end-of-season lineups in the AFL, is it?
It's an interesting one. But, I mean, I just found the numbers incredible, the fact that he is still 22. He's 23 in November and has, in a year of real adversity for the Western Bulldogs this year, and I'm going to put Johannesson in this bracket too. I think he's been really good this year. Bontempelli has stood up amidst that all, and I reckon they're going to be a good side next year, Western Bulldogs. I reckon they'll be pushing back towards the eight next year?
Yeah, I hope so. It's always a more interesting season, I think, when there's one of those working class Melbourne clubs that figures in things. I think it's all very well to have the Richmonds, the Essendons, the Collingwoods and the Hawthorns now. I think Hawthorn's now a big club.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Geelong is often there as well. But if you have a Doggies, a North Melbourne or a St Kilda in the mix, I think it always makes things... And, of course, Melbourne's a different kettle of fish. Oh. Again, isn't it? Belvedere.
Well, we'll get there in a minute. My goodness.
All right, so Dogs over Carlton.
Yeah, I think Carlton, you know, brave for 2.5 quarters last week over here and left to too few yet again. So I think Western Bulldogs win that one. West Coast v Melbourne at Optus Stadium. One win from their past 18 trips to Perth, the D's, which was last year.
Last year, against when Tommy McDonald got the toe on the ball in the goal square.
And kicked five for the game. So I think with Jesse Hogan's exit for the season, a lot will fall on his head. Two things about this game. I think Hogan, he's been criticised, and I think rightly so, for not playing deep enough. But on the other hand, he's contributed to more. I think he's got more score involvements than any other player in the comp. So
it's an interesting one, though, because... Yeah. Okay, so Jonathan Brown was the one that pointed out that Hogan was too close.
Yep.
But often coaches preach they want a tall player close to the scrimmage because if there's a scrambled kick forward, they want a player able to be in that marking contest who can hold his own. So it's an interesting one. And obviously they all like space over the back too. Yep. It's the ability of your forwards to read the situation quickly, isn't it, and know whether to come up or to get back and get that yard on their opponents, and that is about, I think you can coach structures, but that's also about how quickly players react.
And footy smarts.
I was watching Cam McCarthy at one point in the Derby, I reckon it was, and the kick forward from a Fremantle player was a kick that would have given him a half a chance had he reacted as quickly as Jeremy McGovern, and he didn't.
Yeah.
And Jeremy McGovern took what was basically an uncontested mark. So I think a lot of these things are about how quickly the forwards react in terms of, as well as how quickly they, how well they structure up and where they position
themselves. I'm not giving them no chance, Melbourne, given they're an offensive beast and they've got a lot of depth in the midfield and one of the in-form ruckmen, probably the number one premier ruckman of the comp this year, Max Gawn. But I tell you how they definitely, if they enter their forward line, as they did last week, just bombing it in, they are in all sorts. They will get slaughtered because Hearn, McGovern, Barras, they will just mop it up. So they need to be smarter, lower their eyes, just be smarter, pick out the targets. In a funny way, you know, it might even aid them this week, having Hogan out. They might just readjust their thinking a little bit in that forward line.
So if you were, we saw Aidan Johnson go to McGovern last week and pretty much tag him. Smaller player, but made him accountable. Johnson kicked a couple of goals as well.
Yep.
Seemed to work for a fair portion of the game. And obviously we all know what unfolded with the injuries and then the mayhem in the last quarter for Port. But would you be tempted, if you were Simon Goodwin, to give that a go, to pick a Harms or someone who tries to play pretty much on McGovern and tries to make him... be in a contest, but B, make him accountable as well.
Yeah, I would. And I think the number one edict at Melbourne this week should be make your inside 50s count. So be smarter. Don't just chip the ball around. Don't just enter inside 50. Look at how you enter. And when it's there, fight like hell. Fight like hell for every possession. Do not let that ball out of your inside 50. I just want to score or a boundary line stoppage. I want something. I want a reset. I do not want that ball to exit easily. That's what my instructions to them would be. If they do that, they're halfway there. Having said that, I think this is a game. The Eagles, they can win this. They're top two.
Yeah.
And I think what you'll find, there's a lot of sore bodies in there. I think Yo's sore, Shuey's sore. There'd be no doubt most of them would be sore. But I think Yo particularly is pretty sore. So I think if they win this, I think you'll find there'll be a few missing next week. For good, well-earned rests in the final round, knowing that they've got the top two locked down. And I'm picking West Coast. Melbourne, if they, not without their chances, but it would be highly unlikely.
Yeah, I'm picking West Coast. The one thing that will work in Melbourne's favour, I think there's significant mental demons at work with Melbourne.
Mm.
And I think they're kicking for goal last week was indicative of that. It was a big moment for the club.
Pressure builds pressure, doesn't it?
It does. And failure builds pressure. So the more you fail, the greater the pressure you feel when you're trying to break that cycle of failure.
This could be the most two most important weeks in Melbourne's history. I think they have to make the eight this year.
I think it will be seen as abject failure if they don't.
So I'm sorry, Melbourne supporters, but this is, you know, get nervous or get excited. And that's what Melbourne should be excited because make this an opportunity. This is a really important fortnight for them as a club.
Yeah, so I think they'll come over here and I think they'll swing away a bit.
Yep.
And I think that may help them. But that said, how do you tip against West Coast at home? I think only Essendon have beaten them here this year.
And Sydney, round one. When Buddy's kicked eight.
Yeah, so it's you know, they're a very, very difficult outfit to overcome at Optus Stadium. With a lot to gain as well,
I think. So both West Coast there. And finally, Adelaide v North Melbourne, Adelaide Oval. It's really hard to sort of get your head around this game. North Melbourne still with a chance of making the eight. Mm. So Ben Brown, Magic Dore in terrific form against Adelaide, who last game in a disappointing year in Adelaide Oval, which they'd really want to win. I'm going to pick Adelaide, but with great trepidation here. I just think North's got so much more to play for at this point.
Yeah, well, North are still a silly chance, aren't they? But I'm going to tip Adelaide at home. I suspect there'll be a bit of a clearing of a weight off Adelaide's shoulders now that they can't get there. And I think they'll just want to finish the year strongly, give an indication of what they're about and what they're capable of as a club. And if they do that, I think they're good enough to beat North at home.
Yeah, here's an idea too, Crows. Have a Mad Monday and no camp. No camp this year. Go down to Glenelg, get the tram. It's a beautiful tram trip. Stop at the Rex Hotel on your way. That's about halfway down. Have a couple of beers. And I know the Rex Hotel, they come around with these cheese and sausage carts so you can play pool and have the cheese and sausages. Keep going down the tram. Have a swim at Glenelg, then go home. No camp. No camp this year, please.
They've got to at least allow themselves the playing of the Richmond team song a few times.
I don't mind that. That's fine. But just no camp, please, boys. Let's see you up and about again next year. Adelaide, because they're a good. I'm not anti Adelaide. I really like them. I think they've been through a lot, and I love seeing them make the grand final last year.
Yep.
But they've made some pretty big blues entering this year, let alone during the year. So
yeah, I agree with you entirely. I think that they. They were a player group that had shown enormous resilience and they got treated like a player group that needed to toughen up.
Exactly, and they did not need to toughen up at all.
And I think that was pretty ordinary. It was a pretty ordinary piece of judgment by the people organising their pre-season.
It was.
And it blew up in their face. I expect them to be one of the teams to be looked closely at next year.
Hope so.
And I hope that they finish the season strongly now that they're out of contention.
Yep, true, agree.
All right, well, thank you very much for joining us today. We hope your tips go well over the weekend. Hope they certainly go better than mine have been going over the last 3 weeks.
I think I've got five last week. Yeah.
Oh, I don't even keep count anymore, Glenn.
It gets to that stage.
You know the Super Saturday when we had all those great results? Every one of them went against me by under a kick. I'm just
so you turn your toes up.
I got a bit bitter and twisted about life, Glenn.
We do.
Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back on Tuesday, full wrap of the round, full wind up of what the implications are, and we look forward to speaking to you then.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.